If you're not using Amazon.com for all of your online shopping, you're practically a numbskull. So don't engage in tomfoolery. Support Rob as a podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with another Survivor Exit Interview podcast. And this morning we are going to be speaking with Michael Snow, who really got snowed last night when out of nowhere he was the one being sent home. So we're going to talk to him and find out exactly what he was thinking about all of this. I got on a plane last night after Survivor Know-It-Alls, had a very good talk with Steven after the episode. We tried to piece it all together, got on a flight, flew home, slept a little bit, and now I'm ready to do my exit interview. I'm here at my mom's house. I talked to my mom about the episode. She's even more confused than normal after last night's episode. So hopefully you guys have watched Survivor Know-It-Alls. We're all on the same page and have a chance to talk about today's episode. And then later on today, we'll do a full recap podcast. No guests today. Just going to be talking to Nicole again. I'm outside of my normal studio, so it's a little hard to piece everything together. So we're going to talk to Nicole about the episode, and we're going to take plenty of questions from you guys on Facebook later on today. If you haven't yet liked our Facebook fan page and would like to do so, and we would love if you would do that, you can go to facebook.com/Rob Has a Podcast. And always, you can subscribe to Rob Has a Podcast anytime in iTunes when you go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes or subscribe to any of our individual shows at robhasawebsite.com/show feed. So I see that Michael is on the line. So let's go ahead and bring in Michael. Michael, good morning.
Rob, what is up?
So what is up with you, Michael? How are you doing?
I'm awesome. How are you doing?
Michael, very nice to talk to you because I know that you are a student of the game. And I'm looking forward to hearing a little more about what was going on during this season.
Yeah, well, we'll see what I could lay out for you. It's great to talk to you. I listen to your show.
Yes, well, I appreciate that, and I very much appreciated it early on in the season. You said you listed me as one of the players that you would like to play like myself and Suri, I believe. So quite a lethal combination.
Too bad it didn't work. I didn't get as far as you guys did, but
well, all right. Let's get into what happened last night, because myself especially and a lot of people that I've talked to on Twitter since then were horribly confused by everything that went on at the Tribal Council. And it really wasn't until I did the show with Steven last night that we sort of talked through exactly what happened. But for you sitting there, not even seeing the episode, at the time that that happened, up until last night, how much of a sense of what happened did you have going through that experience?
I would say I was aware of a lot of it. You know, how the ultimate end of Tribal Council was kind of a surprise for me. I really thought that there was a chance that it could be me, because I knew it was idol mania all season. Those favorites were afraid of those idols. So when it happened, I knew it was because of the idol. But I figured they were going to split the vote. So I was surprised. But a lot of the other stuff, like Dawn, I knew I couldn't trust her, even though I had no other choice to think that maybe she was going to come with us. But I knew Andrea was running around. The thing that surprised me the most is that Eddie had said, you know, you know, we're going to play the idol. Maybe that was the thing that sealed the deal a little bit. But you know, I knew Reynolds had showed Dawn the idol. I knew that was a big part of it. I knew that, you know, it was kind of a really wacky Tribal Council. So yeah, I was surprised myself, but you know, I knew all the pieces were there. I didn't have them put together until I walked out, you know, after my torch was snuffed.
So going into that vote last night, did you guys have any sense that the votes could be coming for Malcolm, or was that because Malcolm got tipped off from what Philip was saying, which also may or may not have been intentional for Philip trying to get Malcolm to play his idol? So was Malcolm suspicious going into Tribal Council that the votes were going to be coming for him?
That I can't answer for you, like, because working with Malcolm, I was really working through Reynolds. I was letting Reynolds, you know, work that relationship more so than I. So he, Malcolm and I only had a few brief conversations that day about what was happening. So I didn't really get a good sense that Malcolm was, like, totally nervous. I didn't think myself that Malcolm was in trouble. I thought that it was Reynolds and Eddie, because that's what I had been led to believe by all the other ding-dongs out there.
Numbskulls, I thought it was.
Yeah, like bird brains, tools, whatever you want to call them.
Well, let me talk through the tribal council, and then I will talk about the numbskulls, because there's really so much to get to from last night. So now, you weren't privy to any sort of conversation before tribal council where Malcolm and Reynolds talked about, hey, if stuff goes down, you give me your idol, or had Reynolds said, hey, look, if anybody feels threatened, feels like it's going to be them?
No, I was not privy to Malcolm and Reynolds having that conversation, but Reynolds and I had that conversation. Reynolds was going to, he offered the idol to me as well, but, you know, I was like, I didn't think I was number one target on that day, so I was just like, dude, I cannot take your idol. I can't take somebody's idol and watch him go home. That was like, I wanted to play a tough game, but I couldn't play an asshole game, you know, so I just was like, you know, I knew those conversations were happening, and I wasn't surprised that Reynolds gave Malcolm the idol. Malcolm stood up and said he wanted it, and Reynolds is just one of those people. He's like, oh, okay, here you go, you know, so he gave it to him.
Reynolds is such a nice guy. He's like,
he actually is. He's very generous, and, like, that's why, you know, he wants, like, we were on opposite sides of the fence over there on the fans tribe, but he always was like, you know, like, I want to work with you. I'm nice. You know, I'm fun, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he really is like a me idol, a Sue idol.
Right. That's what
for our
said.
Spanish
I mean,
listeners.
I don't,
yeah.
Yes. Me Roberto.
Yes. And then was Philip last night, when you were sitting there and Philip was talking about how if you have the idol, we will consider that a threat and we will go against you. Did you like Philip was, did you, in your sense, was he talking about Reynolds in that conversation, or did you feel like he was talking about Malcolm potentially? Because you didn't even know Malcolm had an idol, right?
No, I wasn't surprised that he had an idol, but when I found out, but I didn't know he had it. I knew one of those favorites had it, and I figured he was the best bet to have it. Some of them were too lazy to go out in the woods and look for it, you know, but I knew. So I figured Philip was talking about Reynolds. I mean, in retrospect, he was talking about a snake and all this kind of stuff. I knew he was talking about Malcolm, but he had, you know, he brought out in tribal council, Philip did, that he saw, you know, Reynolds showing the idol to Dawn and all this kind of stuff. So he really was going, it felt to me like he was going after Reynolds.
But he knew he was voting for you. Do you think that he was trying to get exactly what Malcolm did to get Malcolm or Reynolds to play an idol when the votes were actually coming for you?
No, I think the reason they voted for me is they thought that there's no chance that I would have the idol. I think it really just came down to that. I think they didn't realize that there was a chance that Reynolds would give me the idol. They were, you know, here's a little mistake. I had told the guys, Eddie and Reynolds, I said, okay, let's just, you know, you keep the idol, Reynolds, but let's go off into the woods before, a few minutes before we leave, and we'll all take our bags, and we'll play one of those dopey little survivor tricks and come back, you know, with our bags smiling and all this. It just put fear into their minds of, you know, maybe we pass the idol around or something like that. But, you know, I just didn't make them go out in the woods to do that. And maybe that would have been a look just enough because, you know, they were so scared of that idol, man.
Yeah. Michael, what I want to know, though, is was Philip trying to flush an idol by talking about, you know, whoever had the idol when they knew that they were going for you? Was that a little bit of gamesmanship from Philip, or was he really just being sincere and pissed about the idol?
Maybe both. I mean, Philip, you know, I think Philip is playing, you know, for how crazy his game is, he is playing a good game. He has Boston Rob's rules, and he is playing them. You know, he's throwing the book out there. He's reading his book every day, and he's using those rules. So I got to give it to Philip. He's playing hard, and he's playing well. So I bet it was a little bit of both. I mean, Philip could not control his anger out there. He couldn't control what he would say to people, how he would say it. And everyone was just like, shut up already. But I think at the same time, that was part of his game. And he was playing it hard. So, I got to give him props for that.
Yeah. Now, you got lumped in with this group from Cochran last night, the group of, let me see if I have the exact quote here, the masculine tomfoolery of the numbskulls. How did that feel?
Did he include, did he say that group and Michael? What did he say?
Yeah.
The numbskulls and Michael, I hope.
Yes. So, I mean, but I think this was an interesting pairing that, you know, that you end up, lumped in with these guys. Was there any hope that you would have gotten back together with Sherry after the merge? Because you guys seemed tighter with Sherry earlier in the game than you did with the numbskulls.
When the merge happened, immediately I wanted to get back and be working with Sherry, but I was really banking on all the work I had done with Corinne, Dawn, and Cochran, and yes, a little bit with Philip, even though he was driving me bananas. But after I voted for her, she was so pissed off at me, and she just wouldn't have anything to do with me for like a couple of days. And like if I had maybe a couple more days with her, maybe she would have come around and I would have been able to work with her. But at that point, you know, when I went home, she'd had it up to here with me.
All right, so let me ask you a little bit about your heterosexual Corinne. And so much of you this season was, you know, Corinne referring to you as the gay or my gay. Did you take any offense to that? Because I know a lot of people were offended for you. Other people who know Corinne know it's an endearing term. But did that bother you at all?
No, God, no, not at all. I mean, it depends, you know, for me, it just depends on where it comes from. And, you know, if she had been a bitch about things and saying those things at the same time, or she says it in pure, you know, admiration in a way. She was very, we had fun. We were friends. We, you know, the moment I saw her jump out of the helicopter, Rob, I was like, oh, okay, well, there's one favorite I know I can work with. I mean, I knew who she was from her previous season. I knew her game. I knew her loyalty. I knew how she was close with Charlie and loved the boys. I mean, I was like, I got her number. So we sidled right up next to each other, and we were friends. So I knew it was coming from a place of just pure comedy.
Yeah. So with you guys early on in the game, the decision when you guys decided to keep Shamar around for as long as you guys did, do you feel like that things might have gone differently for the fans if you would have dispatched Shamar as soon as possible and sort of tried to make things work with the numbskulls early on in the game when you guys were a fans tribe?
Well, I mean, maybe, but that was, it just was never going to happen, Rob. It was never, that option wasn't on the table.
Because it wasn't you. You and Matt got along fine with Eddie and Reynolds. It just really seems like it was Sherry and a couple of the girls that didn't want to work with them.
Well, it was more about how tight the Eddie and Reynolds and Hope and Allie were. I mean, they were walking around in a foursome. They were like friends. They would all sleep down on the beach. I mean, they really, within 24 hours, it was obvious that they were a foursome. So we were like, we cannot, you know, it's bonded the rest of us, you know, and Sherry brought in Shamar. She did a great job of bringing in Shamar. And we're like, why would we get rid of Shamar? You know, he's so strong. Yes, he's volatile, but he played hard in the challenges, and he's voting with us. You know, why would I get rid of him? And it didn't, you know, it wasn't until later on where it was just nonstop fighting and nonstop problems where it started to be, you know, started to come up like, well, maybe we need to get rid of Shamar. So maybe you're right, but it was just never an option to get rid of Shamar, never in my mind.
A big part of the way the episode hinged last night was on the relationship between Eddie and Andrea. Now, how much of a sense did you have while you were out there that there was at least the formation of this showmance, which really ended up, you know, the information they exchanged totally ended up changing everything last night?
Yeah, I mean, Eddie, you know, maybe that was one of the keys in how things went from the split vote to voting for me. Yeah, I knew that was happening. I mean, I don't know how serious of a thing it was. I don't think it was that serious, but I knew they were getting close as friends or whatever. And I was watching it. I mean, like, they had scenes of them swimming and talking last night, but I was watching them do that. I was up on the hill, you know, overlooking the hill, popping my head up like a gopher, going like, what are they doing? I'm like, I'm watching that Eddie. I'm like, you better not screw us over. So I knew it was totally going on.
Yeah. So as you walk out of the game then, who was your closest ally that you had there after Corinne is gone? Were you just all alone after that, or was it one of Eddie or Reynolds?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I was pretty much alone, and I was talking to Reynolds the most. I mean, he was in the same kind of situation where he's kind of scrambling as well. And we were able to talk about stuff. It didn't really get us that far, but I was talking to him a lot.
Yeah, well, it's a shame what happened, because I really do think that you were in a pretty decent spot, because I think, you know, unless these favorites were going to stick together until the end, maybe they get rid of, you know, Eddie and Reynolds and Malcolm, and then when it comes time to get rid of you, they say, you know, okay, well, you know, they might start
them.
Start to cannibalize each other. So
yeah.
You could have been in a good spot. I'm sorry it didn't work out with this.
Thank you.
Eddie and Andrea going and spilling the beans.
Damn, Eddie.
Yeah.
Such a goofball.
All right. Well, Michael, all the best to you, and looking forward to seeing you at the finale.
Thank you, Rob. Great to talk to you.
All right. Take care, buddy. Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Michael Snow here on a Survivor Thursday exit interview. So we've got a lot more Survivor to talk about, because there's a lot going on here in this episode. So later on today, I'll be back with Nicole Sesternino. We're going to break down the whole episode, and we want to get some questions from you guys. I'm going to open up the thread on Facebook in just a bit, or if you want to leave us some voicemails, you can go ahead and do that anytime. If you go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail, use the microphone on your computer or your smartphone, or you could call us at 323-282-RHAP. That's 323-282-RHAP. RHAP. Otherwise, getting ready for the big showdown between the stars of Survivor and Big Brother. Well, these strategic minds will be on hand when we play Reality Game Masters this upcoming Saturday. So very excited for that. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait. Also, if you guys want to help me out with something, I could use your assistance for a survey that I've been asked to do by the company that hosts my podcast. They think that Rob Has a Podcast could be a fit for some advertisers that they have, but they'd like to know a little bit more about the demographics of the fine people that listen to podcasts like this. So if you have some time and you'd like to help out the show, it would be a great help to me if you could go to robhasawebsite.com/survey. There's about 6 or 7 questions that they want you to answer. It shouldn't take you any more than a minute or two. And if you could do that, I would very much appreciate it. So thank you guys very much for listening, and thank you guys very much for all of your support. Always very much appreciated. So have a great Thursday, everybody. We'll be back later on today to talk more Survivor on Rob Has a Podcast. Take care. Bye.